from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of Thinkology, and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Well, the verdict is in. If you haven't heard, and if you have not, you're just one of a handful of Americans who've not. George Zimmerman was found innocent in his trial of killing Trayvon Martin, one of the most focused and sensational trials in this country, going back at least to the O.J. Simpson trial, I would imagine. Verdict came in last night. Where were you last night? Remember where you were? I was at a concert here in Baton Rouge, my hometown, listening to some great country Texas music. And I had a beep on my, knowing I was going to talk about it on the show today, I had a beep telling me on my iPhone that the verdict was in, and I checked it out and found it at that point in time. And, of course, it reverberated through the concert. They stopped the concert and started talking about it a little bit, as did those of all persuasions, whether you thought that Zimmerman was guilty or not guilty. It was the point of contention, the point of conversation all over the country. We'll talk about that a little bit, about why this trial, what made this unique. There are killings that take place, black on black, white on white. I say that because the media, it seems like to me, has made this a racial issue. I don't think so much in the courtroom, but that's been hyped so much on the media. We'll talk about that. But I was a little surprised, quite frankly, at how quick the verdict came in, and I thought there may be a hung jury, to tell you honestly. Give you my background. I'm a lawyer. I haven't practiced in a while, but back in the 70s and the 80s, I was a defense attorney. Back in those days, you didn't have a public defender's office like most states do. The court would just appoint you. Say, look, what you're going to represent so-and-so. I handled attempted murder cases, burglary cases, a whole lot of serious cases. I was appointed by the judge from the bench because I was the youngest lawyer there. He just kind of stuck with me. I think I was paid $25, $50 to handle these cases, and often handled a variety of such cases. So I come from a lawyer's background perspective, and I was a bit surprised. I watched the six women on the jury, five white, one Hispanic. I think all of them had smaller children. And there seemed to be a great deal of emotion when the Trayvon Martin final argument took place, where the jury portrayed him as a young man who really had no business being attacked like he was. There's an empathy that any mother would give because they have children themselves. They can envision the fact that their child is walking home through a neighborhood and someone, even mistakenly, looks on them as somewhat of a threat and something terrible happens, which happened in this particular case. And so I thought it was going to be tough to get six women in this case, and I don't mean to disparage the women. I'm just saying there were emotional pulls, being mothers, that had an effect on how they looked on this case. I'd look forward for a verdict to come in, if at all, probably next Tuesday. I thought it'd be several more days. And then you would see a verdict, and I thought it might be a hung jury, quite frankly. But that's not what happened. 16 hours of deliberations, the jury came back and declared George Zimmerman not guilty. So, you know, you can have moral feelings of what the moral verdict should be, and then you got to deal with the facts. And in this case, there was limited facts because outside of a few witnesses that heard some cries, that looked out their window and gave testimony, there was the only verdict you could, or the only factual basis you had, was what George Zimmerman said, and he didn't even take the stand. Quite frankly, I think the prosecutors were surprised that some of their witnesses gave credence to Zimmerman's point of view, supported him, gave him backup when they said that the blows on his head were consistent with him being on the bottom of the pile, that Zimmerman, whether that Martin, the young African-American, was on top of beating him and hitting him in the head. So that was a factor, I think, witnesses from the prosecution that didn't help the prosecution, that probably helped more the case of Zimmerman, the defendant. And so, also, I would also suggest this to you in watching this case, that the prosecutors overreached. They pushed for second-degree murder. And most people, I think, who are reasonable don't feel that Martin was profiled. It's not like Zimmerman was a stalker. Zimmerman was the neighborhood watch guy. He was assigned on duty that night. He was in an area where there'd been lots of crime. It was a gated community, but there'd been crime, burglaries in this community. So he sees a lone individual, happened to be black, who was walking in the rain, and that's where the worst case scenario took place of the uncertainty. You see, neither side knew what the other guy was doing. And so it's raining, and from all accounts I've read, you had Trayvon Martin, who is, to get out of the rain, walking on the underflow of the condos. The condos have a hangout where the roof kind of comes out. So instead of walking down the driveway or walking down the sidewalk, he's off on the side. Doesn't want to get wet. Makes sense, doesn't it? Well, of course, Zimmerman on neighborhood watch sees an unknown individual, young man, got a hoodie on. Now, you know, or you say, that's not right to profile hoodies. Well, we all profile individuals. I don't care what you say. You profile. Anybody that says they do not profile is not being realistic. Of course you profile. When the door knocks and I open the door for some kid taking my daughter out for a date, he's got tattoos all over him, got a Indian haircut with the hair right down the middle. He got a nose ring. I'm going to profile that kid and say, no, go home. Leave my daughter alone. You profile all the time. You know, I did this radio show in New Orleans for about 3 years. I commuted back and forth and did a morning show. Was there from 8 to 11. Often I spend the night down there. I had some family that had an apartment, and so I'd spend the night. And I'd try different restaurants, and some of the restaurants were neighborhood restaurants. There's an area called the Marigny that's not lit that well. Beautiful little area. It makes you look thinks you're in Cuba, Havana, Cuba. So I went down to a restaurant there one night. Came out at about 9 o'clock. It was dark. And I saw a couple of fellows walking towards me. I couldn't tell whether they're black or white. That was irrelevant. They were tall fellows walking towards me on a dark street in a neighborhood. And as you know anything about New Orleans, it's got the highest murder rate in America. So I looked them over. I profiled them. I wasn't comfortable. Turned around, walked back, and in the restaurant. When they walked by, very innocent-looking, very nicely dressed young men, chatting, obviously going off for an evening to be out. But I profile them. I don't want to put myself in danger. You don't either. So, of course, we profile. Of course, we look out for ourselves under those circumstances. But in this particular case, I don't think Zimmerman profiled this young man right off the bat. He didn't stalk him right off the bat, but it got rough, and there was words, and both sides overreacted. I just would imagine that Martin was incensed that some guy, what he referred to him as a cracker, a term that apparently African-American used towards whites. He's this swear word cracker that he used. And he was probably incensed that some guy's even challenging him to walk in the neighborhood where his girlfriend lives. He'd gotten some candy. Martin is obsessed or gets overreacting by the smart aleck young kid, because Martin is on jury, whether he's on watch to be sure the neighborhood is safe. And so one thing led to another. They got into a fight, and the worst scenario happened. Was that premeditated second-degree murder? No. It was manslaughter, negligent manslaughter. We'll come back and talk some more about this very terrible scenario that took place, and that happens in lots of places all over America. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. I wrote about it this week. You can find some interesting stuff on my website. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. That's jimbrownusa.com. Take a look. You'll have some fun in doing so. Hey, freshen up your coffee. We'll come back and talk about this. We've got some attorneys coming on to talk about the Zimmerman case. Be right back after this message on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Ça c'est le bon temps relay. Let the good times roll. Yai!
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking about this Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case, which you're going to hear about on talk shows all over the country, radio programs, talk radio, and at some point we'll move beyond this. But there's lessons learned. We're trying to get a grip and get focused so that common sense prevails. And lawyer who's handled a number of criminal cases, this Zimmerman, it would have been a different scenario If you were in New York, in Philadelphia, if you're in Boston, you see, in Florida, you have the right to stand your ground laws. A number of southern states have that. My home state of Louisiana has a stand your ground law. And so you don't have to be on your own property if you feel like you're in imminent danger and you are being confronted. You have the right to defend yourself at all costs. And we've had a number of cases like that where you get into the fine-tuning. They're very difficult cases to try to zero in on and find the right balance. I said before in the program, I think the prosecutors overreached when they pushed for second-degree murder. This looked to me like negligent homicide at best. Negligent homicide to where Zimmerman got into a confrontation. And, I guess one of the lessons is you don't bring a gun to a fist fight. You had a fist fight going on. Zimmerman has a gun. When he pulled that gun, then he got close to negligent homicide. No one knows all the facts, if there had been witnesses there. And if Martin, the young man who was killed, was not as aggressive as was shown, Zimmerman, I think, would have been convicted. In any event, I think the prosecutors overreached. That was a mistake on their part. I also think prosecutors were all over the map. I didn't see a step-by-step analysis from them. Here's how this whole event came down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That didn't happen in the prosecutor's case. They just were disjointed and too far-reaching in throwing out way too much to the jury. I don't mean to infer that this six-woman jury couldn't have handled it. They just didn't have a sense of technically what Zimmerman did and how Martin reacted. They just didn't feel that way. I think with Mark O'Mara, who was Zimmerman's attorney, it was a different result. With O'Mara, I think he was very methodical. Acted like a carpenter, if you will. He methodically built his case. And he was criticized. O'Mara was criticized because if you remember one part of the case, if you were following it, O'Mara talked about the 4 minutes, and he took a stopwatch and started it and sat there and said nothing for 4 minutes. And everybody looked around, and the commentators were saying, well, that just doesn't really ring true. I think it rang very true. What he was saying was that Trayvon Martin, the young man killed, there was about a 30-second walk from where he was on up to his father-in-law, the father of the young girl that he was dating. That's why he was there in the first place, 30 seconds. 4 minutes went by until you heard the confrontation. What O'Mara was saying was that Martin could have just kept on walking, left Zimmerman, not had a confrontation. He's 30 seconds away from the front door of where he was going. But 4 minutes goes by, and the inference was that Martin turned around and confronted Zimmerman. And maybe he did, and probably said, look, he called him a cracker. We know that. We heard that on the telephone. What are you confronting me for, man? What's going on here? And if it got aggressive, and then Martin came toward Zimmerman, and they got into a fight, and they were on the ground, and Zimmerman sustained his broken nose and injuries to the back of his head at that point, then under Florida law, Zimmerman legally, whether you agree morally or not, had the right to pull out that gun and defend himself to keep from being seriously injured. You don't have a stand-your-ground law in most of your states where you have big cities, like California, Los Angeles, San Diego, Denver, Colorado doesn't have a law like that, St. Louis, Chicago. In the South, primarily, although not exclusively, you do have your stand-your-ground focuses to where you can defend yourself. And so I think O'Mara, the defense attorney, very effectively pointed that out. The bruised head, the broken nose. He kept pushing the fact that Martin was the aggressor. Martin was not injured in any way. So if Zimmerman is being pounded upon, and remember there was the lady who was in tears on the telephone saying she looked out the window and she saw somebody on top pounding somebody else. She could not identify whether it was Zimmerman or Martin. But then you had the other gentleman neighbor who said he looked out and he saw Zimmerman on the bottom Trayvon Martin on top. And there was nothing to refute that, you see. There was no evidence to refute that. So those witnesses, as Mark O'Mara very specifically pointed out, it just like a surgeon taking a knife, pointing those problems out, made this difference. Now, the political commentators were all over the map, and they were making the moral argument. They weren't looking at the detailed facts. And I just point that out to you, that as a former defense lawyer, as I was, not by choice. If you missed my earlier segment, I said that, you know, back in the old days when I was practicing law, the judge just appointed you. I just got appointed to these cases. I got appointed to burglaries. I got appointed to attempted murder and some really gruesome cases I could tell you about. Some unfair cases, some people that were tried that should have been tried. I was all over the map on the type of people that I was appointed to represent. So I think Mark O'Mara, very calm attorney. Some people said that he didn't have enough emotion, that the political commentators were saying. O'Mara, like I say, act like a surgeon or like a carpenter. He was building a house. He had his game plan. And step by step by step, he built his defense. I mentioned before, that 30-second, 4-minute comparison was very compelling to me. Because if Trayvon Martin wanted to leave, he could just kept on walking. Zimmerman didn't holler or shoot him in the back while he was standing up. They were on the ground fighting in some way. So how did Trayvon Martin, pretty big guy, 6'2", much bigger than Zimmerman, end up on the ground? Now, some people might say, well, Zimmerman ran up and tackled him. Zimmerman had a gun. You see, Zimmerman had a gun, so it's hard to believe that Zimmerman would have gone and tackled Trayvon Martin and wrestled him to the ground. That was the point that Zimmerman's attorney, Mark O'Mara, kept making. So Zimmerman was there, and Martin could have gotten into safety, into the house where he was going in 30 seconds. And the 4 minutes went by. So were they circling each other like sitting out their territory? And you can see where Martin might have been offended that some guy, some, as he referred to, cracker, was challenging him for being in the neighborhood when he was legally doing nothing wrong. He went and got some candy and a drink. He was doing nothing wrong. So if you had to have 25 things go wrong that caused the shooting, if only one had not gone wrong, it would never happen. You needed all 25, right? And all 25 happened. Terrible, terrible situation. We'll talk some more later on with several lawyers to give us their view on this, defense attorneys. Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show, my website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, freshen up your coffee. We got a lot more to talk about. We got a busy day today because we had a full schedule before the Zimmerman verdict came down. So be right back after my coffee. You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our Colloidal Minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
We'll take a little break from the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman discussion. We'll have that the next hour, a good bit in the next hour, but lots more going on. And one thing that's been in the news over recent months is the role of women in the military. You've had the confrontation over some of the harassment allegations. You've had women now who can legally go fight in combat, although many women in the military say they've been in combat for years. And so the whole focus on women in the military has come to the front burner. And I want to talk about it a little bit today. New book out called All I Could Be, My Story as a Woman Warrior in Iraq. It's by a long-term soldier in Iraq, Miyoko Hikiwi. She's joining us right now. Miyoko, glad to have you join us on the Common Sense Show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Now, you've written really a fascinating book about your experience, and as you say, this is a front-burner issue to so many now, as there is major investigations within the military of discussions of the growing role of women in the military. You went to Iraq, spent a year in Iraq, were under fire, and dealt with a lot of these issues years ago before all this debate came up. Why did you write a book about it to begin with? Why did you write a book about your experiences?
Well, at the time, I really felt that I was living a story that was hard for the non-serving American public to really envision or really know about. And so I wanted to make sure that people understood what it was that not just their daughters and their sisters were doing in Iraq, but what their sons and their brothers were doing, too. It was an important story to be told, I think, at length in a book. That's different than what we see in news clips or sound bites, just 30 seconds or a few minutes at a time. This was really an opportunity for the American public to walk alongside a soldier from pre-deployment all the way through the war, through coming home.
Now, you were in the Iowa National Guard initially. At that point in time, when you joined the National Guard, did you have any idea that you might actually be deployed and have to be called up on full-time duty?
actually did, and after September 11th, I did 6 months of gate guard duty at my state headquarters. And before I was in the guard, I did 3 years on the active duty in a very high operational tempo unit. So for me, I think there was this idea in my head that eventually I would be involved in some kind of a conflict. It just felt a little more relevant to me, I think, than maybe some of the other traditional guard soldiers that had never served in any other kind of active duty capacity. So September 11th was certainly a surprise, but after that, I really did have the expectation of eventually getting deployed overseas.
Yeah, I think most people don't realize how many National Guardsmen actually were deployed overseas. And that's a major debate going on right now. I'm a part of that debate. I served in the National Guard for 12 years here in Louisiana. And, of course, when Hurricane Katrina came in, 65 or almost 70% of all of our Guardsmen were in Iraq. And as a consequence, there was not the manpower, or I say manpower, the people power, available within the service. So there's a whole debate going on about that role. But you go to Iraq now. What year did you serve? When were you actually in Iraq? What years?
The 2003 and 4. I was there just about 3 months after the invasion for that first year of the war.
What exactly was your job when you were there?
I was sent with a transportation unit, so I was primarily a truck driver. I was also the unit correspondent and an administrative sergeant. So I worked a little bit on some paperwork and some news stories since I was a journalism student in college when I was deployed. So I kind of filled in that additional duty. But primarily I was a truck driver, so supporting the armored cavalry unit that we were attached to move their supplies between the forward operating bases, you know, everything from ammo and troops, water, food, enemy prisoners of war, things like that.
Okay, well, so some people might say, well, you're driving a truck, you know, that's no big deal. You know, you've got all kinds of protection and fences. It's not quite what the perception is to some people about driving a truck. Tell us about pressures, how dangerous it was. Were you carrying a weapon? What kind of emotional tension you were under when you were driving? Give us a little idea of what someone in your capacity was doing as you were driving. You weren't just driving around a city with the gate around it. You were all over the place, weren't you?
Right. This was the open desert in the northwest section of the country. So everything north of Baghdad to the Turkey border and everything west to Syria and Jordan. Truck driving at that time was actually the most dangerous job in Iraq because insurgents chose as their weapon of choice the improvised explosive device. It's very hard to detect. It's extremely powerful. And it can be, you know, detonated remotely, you know, with very little detection. So at the time, you know, driving in a convoy of 5-ton trucks or tractor trailers across a pretty minimal landscape, we had a very large impression. We're relatively slow moving. We didn't have armored vehicles. So that really, you know, we were kind of moving targets, really. I carried an M16. My co-driver had an M249 saw, semi-automatic weapon. So when he was driving, I carried that saw. But it's very difficult to defend yourself from the window or the turret of a truck. So we really relied on some other security elements at the front and rear of the convoys, 250 cals, and sometimes we had some air support. Since we were in a cavalry unit, we did have some Apache and Black Hawk helicopters, but that certainly wasn't the norm for every operation. So it was definitely a lot of tension because I think one thing we realized once we left the wire within the one gate we were at, until we got to the wire of the next gate, we were really an open target.
How do you? That's always been something that's interested me because you hear of so many explosions of these landmines that are on the road. So you got a route you're going down. I mean, you got to be apprehensive because you know, if you're taking out a morning route and somebody in the middle of the night slips down and put a landmine in the road, and these aren't concrete superhighways, so you can cover up the dirt pretty easily. What do you look for when you're driving? You're sitting there and you're driving that truck down the road. Do you look for certain signs or maybe a landmine in the road? How do you protect yourself in those situations?
It's very difficult. I mean, by the time that you may notice something that looks a little unusual, like something that looks like it's been dug up and recovered up, just a change in the landscape, you're on top of it pretty quickly. Especially in parts of the country near the cities where there's just a lot of garbage and there's a lot of where there were a lot of bombs dropped. So there's already a lot of crumbled concrete and a lot of, you know, broken down cars and a lot of places that are very easy, you know, ways to conceal an IED. So that made it very difficult. But you certainly scan the landscape and look for anything that looks like it's been unearthed or moved or it looks different. But that's really hard to tell. And one thing is, usually the very first vehicles of the convoy would be the easiest to detect that, because usually an IED would want to be detonated in the middle of a convoy. So that was a more dangerous spot to be, because that would be a place where you could divide the convoy and cause the confusion and get people split off in a different direction. And
so the IEDs are not set off then, because you're I'm just assuming that the wheel of the truck goes over and that sets it off. They're based on timers, or how can you blow up a truck in the middle of the convoy?
Both. So some are pressure sensitive, so would be detonated, you know, by the pressure of a vehicle. Some are remotely detonated by cell phone or another device. So yes, they're certainly out in the desert surveying the convoys coming by and able to pick that spot in the middle in order to detonate it. And that actually, in one of my convoys, I did drive by an IED that failed to detonate. So I did see that too close to the time that I was already on top of it, was able to drive around it, and it didn't go off.
Got a lot of more questions. I want to tell our listeners, we're talking to a war veteran of Iraq. Her name is Miyoko Hikiji. Got a great new book, All I Can Be, My Story as a Woman Warrior in Iraq. You can get it off our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Check it out. Interesting book. We're going to come back. I've got a lot more questions about women in the military. We'll ask Miyoko here. Taking a break right now. Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Would you like to be able to disappear, to be invisible to the NSA and Obama spying thugs? Fortunately, there are still a handful of people carrying the torch for freedom and privacy. My friend Chris Peterson is one of them, and he made a video at privacyradio.com that you need to see right now. He'll teach you how to communicate privately, take your identity off the grid, and even disappear forever. Go to privacyradio.com now to see for yourself. Hurry, though. It's just a matter of time before Obama's minions have him shut down and this information is lost forever. privacyradio.com.
Attention preppers, think you've got everything? Think again. You need rescue tape, the ultimate emergency repair tape, used by the U.S. Army on trucks and tanks as part of their battle damage repair kit. Rescue tape is 20 times stronger than duct tape. Rescue tape repairs leaky pipes and hoses up to 500 degrees, waterproofs electrical connections, and even works right over oily, dirty surfaces. Rescue tape belongs in every prepper's survival kit, bug out bag, and emergency kit. Get rescued or just get stuck. Learn more at rescuetape.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
How effective are women in the military today? We're talking about, there's a new book out called All I Can Be, My Story as a Woman Warrior in Iraq. Author is a former soldier named Miyoko Hikiji. She's our guest here on the show right now. Miyoko, I want to ask you this. In your book, I want you to, this is a bizarre story. I want you to tell our listeners about one goat and $150 American dollars.
Of course. During one particular mission that I was on, a few of the truck drivers that I was with thought it might be sort of a funny joke, at least they thought, to try to barter with some of the Iraqis who had gathered around our convoy as it had stopped to see how much some of the women were worth in Iraqi money, either by trade of a goat and American dollars. And that was something that I don't think they thought the Iraqis would not be very happy about when they realized it wasn't a joke, because that was certainly acceptable in their culture, and it was something that they didn't expect once, you know, man to man to have this conversation and to say, okay, well, we're just kidding, so we'll see you later. And it was something that I think to the women was really offensive, because they were trying to assign some sort of worth or value to each of us based on what those Iraqi men thought we looked like.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen your picture in the front of your book. I'd have paid three or four goats for you, but not just one goat. I mean, you're worth a lot more than that, right? Really, but well, and again, I'm sure it was interesting, fascinating to you about the cultural differences, where something like that would even be allowed to go on. But that brings up, leads me to my next question about the fact of your role as a woman warrior. I mean, some people may say, well, look, a woman's not as strong, and you know, if I'm in a foxhole and somebody's attacking me, I want someone that can stand toe to toe with the enemy. That would be the typical civilian view, quite frankly. Can you do the job? Are you capable in a dangerous and nerve-wracking situation to stand toe-to-toe and be as capable as men? And if someone asks you that question, how do you respond to that?
Certainly. That's a very common question. And the first thing that I would say is there aren't any foxholes in Iraq. We don't fight wars like that anymore. The battlefield is completely nonlinear. So there isn't, you know, a uniformed army on one side and us on the other converging at some point to win over a piece of land. That's not the way it works in modern-day warfare. Technology has really equalized the battlefield in a lot of ways. We're not out there hitting each other over the head with rocks. We're not in isolated situations where it would be, you know, someone of my stature, 5'3", 120 pounds, up against some, you know, really huge Iraqi person that or enemy force. That's not the case at all. I can pull a trigger as well as a man. I know how to use a radio. I know how to call for a medevac. I have the same number, basically, of skills. Is my physical ability as a woman matched to every man in the Army? So, of course, it's not. But we all work in teams together, and there are plenty of men who are close to the size of my stature who are also capable of doing the job. So I think that's just it's too simplified of a way to look at it. The Army has a very standardized test of physical fitness. If you can pass the test, man or woman, you should be able to do the job because that's what the Army decided the standard was.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more the technology that is carried on in the military, the whole focus on drones right now,
right.
Knowing, you know, being a very adept on computers and in so many ways that is not, as you say, standing in the foxhole. But you do end up in close proximity with these men, and there are the ratio of women to men. Men far outnumber men, which then brings up the whole issue of romantic relationships. I think the military says you can't have military romantic relationships, but realistically, I mean, you know, soldiers are normal people just like the rest of us. Tell us kind of the profiles and kind of your experiences in terms of how those relationships work under a military situation.
Right. I think the military is specific about not having a relationship that would be fraternization, so where someone outranks the other person, so it's really in the subordinates, not in their best interest to be in a romantic relationship. And then also, definitely, you can't have any romantic relationships with anyone outside the U.S. Armed Forces, so a non-coalition force. But as far as just people of the same rank that aren't in each other's chain of command or don't supervise each other, they don't have a lot of rules against those kinds of relationships. And you're right, they're absolutely human, they're absolutely natural, and they're not always detrimental. And I think that's one of the unfortunate outcomes of the media lately. I think we definitely need to draw attention to the sexual assault issue in the military. But at the same time, I would hate for people to forget that a great number of the armed forces are married to other soldiers in uniform, and those are good relationships, and they're positive, and they're not, you know, detrimental to the mission. They're not an interference. I had a romantic relationship with another specialist while I was there. And it didn't keep me from doing my mission, and it didn't distract me from doing my mission. It was actually a part of me being a healthy, whole person with one tiny slice of my life that was normal and natural and something that I could look forward to that helped get me through that experience. So certainly not every romantic relationship is a negative one in the military.
Now, take it to the next step to where there is sexual harassment, and there's been some pretty far-reaching allegations made, particularly about senior persons in command abusing that relationship and taking advantage, and particularly in a woman's situation, knowing that if she does complain, it may actually impede her chance of advancement. How prevalent was that? What experiences? Did you see things like that happening? Did you get complaints from other women? Did you have that happen to yourself? How prevalent is that? Because we've seen so much of it in the news today.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think the longer these stories exist in the media will just empower more women to come forward. I think the problem is at least as big as it sounds right now, if not bigger. I had experiences of male superior officers harassing me, and I know that very many other women, usually when we get together at veterans events and the small core group of women, you know, kind of get together and talk among themselves, those stories come out every single time. So I definitely can validate the truth to that not being just a rumor or, you know, an explosion of, you know, it's certainly not inflammatory. I think there's a lot of truth there.
Well, I think you make a good point about the more discussion, having it all come out is probably a cleansing process that we need to go through as the military changes and the roles change and the need for volunteers is all the more. It ought to be a very attractive military for females who are computer literate, who want to continue their education and give back to their country, and it shouldn't be a concern over the harassment. So Miyoko's great book. The book is called All I Can Be, My Story as a Woman Warrior in Iraq. Book's available with Amazon and bookstores, and the easiest way to get it would probably be go on my website, which is www.jimbrownusa.com. Now, Miyoko, you're married. You've got a couple of kids, right?
That's right.
You still in the National Guard, or have you gotten out of the Guard now?
I've gotten out of the Guard now.
Okay, well, good. So, and you live up in Iowa. We've got a lot of listeners in central Midwest up that way. So, where in Iowa do you live?
In Des Moines.
In Des Moines, right. I guess that's the biggest city up in Iowa. So, well, thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it. Good luck on the book, and good luck for telling what I think is a very riveting story. I enjoyed reading your book, and I hope we can have you back on the show in the future.
I would appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Interesting lady. All I Can Be, My Story as a Woman Warrior in Iraq. And again, you can get the book and find out all about Miyoko. Very pretty lady, and that's not relevant to her army. Well, I guess it is relevant to her army career because, as she said, she was harassed, and but she made a great career for herself and lived in danger and pointed out the fact that women can certainly fill so many roles. I mean, when you think of about 90% of the military, as I understand it, are basically in a support position. They're not there on the front lines. Maybe more than that today. If you're serving in the Navy, flying a plane in the Air Force, there's so many ways you can serve your country. And this young lady certainly did. We're going to talk about George Zimmerman some more, this stunning verdict that was quicker than some people thought, surprised some people, didn't surprise me, and I'll tell you more about it as we have some attorneys come on the show and analyze this for us. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about medicine. So in the second hour, we've got a full schedule here in the Common Sense Show. Check out my website. You can sign up for weekly columns that I write and weekly information and have some fun on the site, too. The website is www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll get some news at the top of the hour and come right back and talk some more common sense. Stay with us.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Today, Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.